To welcome all of you to Second Presbyterian Church. My name is Rick Phillips. I'm the senior minister here. We are gathered to remember the life and celebrate the faith and salvation of Mrs. Wilma Burroughs Crawford. Wilma was born April 14th, 1922, and just this week she departed from this life and into the presence of eternal glory on July 11th, 2016. I want to particularly welcome her brother Thad and his wife Eleanor, her sister Patsy, her three children, June, Linda, and Johnny, together with many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, nieces, and nephews of various kinds. We're glad to have you here, and we desire that you would find comfort in this service. We want to lovingly remember your dear Wilma Crawford. And our chief end in this service will that we will fittingly give glory to the God who created her and was her redeemer. Let me begin, therefore, by reading from Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Let's pray together. Great God and our loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be with us during this service. We pray particularly for family members of Wilma Crawford, who in each in their own way have mingled joy and sadness, grief at loss, but gratitude for the blessing she has been to so many lives. We pray, Lord, that you would indeed enable us to glorify you, that we would truly worship you, and we pray that through your word and the singing of these sacred songs, that we would be edified in our holy faith, and that you would be praised as you so richly deserve to do. Father, we ask these things boldly because we name the name of your Son, who is our Savior, and therefore we pray in the manner that he taught his disciples, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's take up the red hymnals, which you'll see in front of you. We'll sing together hymn number 4. Let's rise and we'll sing. Please be seated. For the scripture reading, I'd like to read the 23rd Psalm. Just a few days ago, it seems, I had the privilege of being with Wilma and her gathered family, and I read aloud this very familiar psalm. It was very clear to me that she understood what I was saying and was responding to it in faith. Just a brief introduction. Psalm 23 takes the metaphor of the annual journey of a sheep as they're led by their shepherd from the lowlands through the dangerous clefts in the rock on the way to the tablelands in the hot summer times where they may have refreshment. And the first few verses, verses 1 to 3, are about that journey in this life and how our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, makes provision for us in this life and describes in memorable terms what a blessing it is to have Christ as your Savior and to be under his loving care. And then in verse 4, we have the passage through the dangerous canyon in the valley of the shadow of death. And what a wonderful truth is taught there, that we need not fear evil as Christians pass through death, for the Lord is with us in death. And so he was for our dear sister Wilma. Most beloved to me, you have the final verses which tell of life on the other side of death. And wonderful language. The Lord prepares a table for us, there's a feast for us in heaven. He anoints our head with oil. I'll talk about that a little bit in the message. Our cup overflows. Whatever sanctified thoughts we have of what we hope for in heaven, it's like a cup that we set before the Lord Jesus. And when we get there, the psalm tells us the reality which Wilma Crawford is experiencing right now, it overflows those expectations. It is greater. And then we will dwell all the days of our life with goodness and mercy. And in heaven, we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Last thing I want to say is, what is it that allows this to be true for us? What allows a person to have this experience? The psalm does not say what great sheep they are. He does not say, well, there are certain sheep that are better than other sheep. They're more righteous. They do more good works. They're just stronger. No, sheep is a metaphor for weakness. What leads us from verse 1 to verse 6 is that we'd be able to say in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what matters, having the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if you can say in verse 1, through a personal faith in the Lord Jesus, that the Lord is my shepherd, you will also be able to say with absolute confidence from God's word that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, with those things said, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, the beloved 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Great God and our loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you now for the life and legacy of Wilma Burroughs Crawford. We thank you for the love that you gave to her and that she spread so freely in the lives of so many other people. We thank you for her cheerfulness. We thank you for her good works. We thank you for her faith. We think of all the fruit that you have borne through her life, through her own ministry and touching the lives of many people, things that she did, words that she spoke, faith that she exercised. We think of the work of the church that she shared with her dear husband John and the proclamation of the gospel that they worked for together. We pray, Father, that you would establish that work. Yes, Lord, that you would cause future generations to be touched, probably in ways that we will not directly know. But we still pray, Lord, that you would cause that labor, that love, that testimony of grace to Jesus to be spread to the next generation and the generation beyond that. We pray with thanks, Lord, for this family that's gathered, who are bound together through John and Wilma. And we pray, Father, that you would bless them. Think of all these great-grandchildren who are here and their cousins. And we pray that their fellowship would extend as a family legacy for years to come. And they would remember their great-grandmother. They would remember her love and her kindness and her testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we want to praise you for your faithfulness to her, for the long life that you gave her, and for the faith that your Holy Spirit caused to grow in her heart. We thank you that you have been faithful to keep your promises, Lord, that we know that her sins, yes, she was a sinner, but those sins have been forgiven by the blood of your own Son. We know, Lord, that she stands before you in that perfect righteousness that she received from Jesus through faith. We know that she entered into heaven as a dearly beloved child, because all who believe in Christ, you tell us, become children of God. We thank you for sustaining her over many trials and upholding her faith, making her a blessing to the church and to many, many people. We give you praise for her life and her legacy. Father, I would pray for particularly her family members who are here today, but really all of us, Lord, that we would not fail to profit spiritually from this occasion, but that we would accept the truth that is brought before us, that even the best of us, Lord, will have an end to the number of our days in this life. Indeed, you are the one who has numbered them. Help us, Lord, to think of the life to come, to be aware that there is a life after death and that life is short and eternity is long. And we would be mindful that now, dear Wilma, she has treasures in heaven, having lived under you and having labored in the cause of the church and the gospel. We thank you, Lord, that she is not bereft of things to look forward to, but particularly through her personal faith, she possesses union with your Son, the Lord Jesus. And in him, together with him, she has gained all things, that she is even an heir together with Christ of the eternal glory. Now, Father, would you help each of us to realize that this is what matters most, that the Lord Jesus has said that if we profess him before men, that he will profess us before you and before the holy angels of heaven. And so, Father, I pray that each of us would make sure that we have laid hold by faith of the only Savior, the Lord Jesus, that we might have a part of him, that his blood might have been shed for our forgiveness, and we might, when we die, enter into the eternal glory. Father, we pray for the days and weeks to come. There will be moments of particular loss, particularly those who were closer to Wilma. We think of her brother and her sister, and we think of her children. They will keenly feel her absence. But Father, I pray that your own Spirit would pick up their hearts at such times, and though they would grieve, that they would grieve with a hope, and though there will be tears upon their cheeks, they would realize that soon and very soon, you, our loving Father, will say, now, cry no more, for the new heavens and the new earth have come. And so we glorify you. We, in the presence of the grave, Lord, in the shadow of a death, we glorify you, for you are the true and you are the living God. You are the God of those who are now on earth, and you are the God of those who are no longer on earth, and we in you have an eternal life. Father, would you bless us by your Holy Spirit? Would you strengthen our faith? Again, Lord, if there are those here who have neglected the things of the soul, who have been busy in the things of a passing world, not to open the Bible, and have not entrusted their souls to the Lord Jesus, we pray, Lord, that you would quicken them unto that, and that they would have assurance of their own eternal life, their own forgiveness, their own blessing in your house forevermore, where their dear Wilma has gone, that that would happen through a personal faith in Jesus. We pray in his name, amen. I want to read just a few verses from John's Gospel, and then I'll have brief comments. The passage is John 14, verses 1 to 6. The Lord Jesus said this, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." May God be praised through the reading and hearing of his holy word. Now, those words were spoken by Jesus before his own death. That was the death that was in view, and this is the night beforehand, and he is departing from the disciples who have loved him and relied upon him, and they're troubled by the kinds of things he'd been saying, intimating what was going to happen. And he says, "Do not be troubled. Believe in God, believe in me." And then he makes this wonderful revelation that is such a comfort to Christians at times like this. He tells us that he actually, when he goes to heaven, he goes ahead of us, and he is creating a home dwelling for us there. The word, I think the King James translates it mansions. "I go to prepare a room for you." Now, in the ancient world in which Jesus was speaking, a great patriarch, and surely that would be God the Father, he would have a great estate, and they would all, the family would live on that land. I think there's places in South Carolina, even in Greenville County, where this is more or less going on, and what a blessed thing it is. And they just put another room out, and you come and you join and you enter into the family abode in the love of the extended family under the authority and the provision and the care of the great Father. And this is what Jesus has in mind, that he has done this. This is something that he has done. And he has prepared a place for us. When Wilma Crawford left this world, she did not go into the ether. She is not sitting on a cloud with wings. She actually is not an angel. She is a redeemed saint in the Lord. And this attracts me to her service today because I had the impression she was something of a homebody. And it was a blessing to me to learn that the house in which Wilma lived in her last days, she and John had been behind it for most of those times, but was the house that her own parents had lived in. And Linda told me that she remembers sitting on that very porch with her grandmother, Wilma's mother, and having fond times with her with Wilma's dear mother. And so my own impression of her was that she was well settled into her home. Well, my friend, she has not left that home into a homeless state. She has gone into a blessed dwelling prepared for her by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can't fill in all the lines on that. He tells us what he tells us. But what a sweet thought as we reflect upon her departing from this world and that comfortable home, that she has gone to a place that Jesus has prepared for her. We think of the care of her family members as her days grew shorter and she was brought into a family's home. And when I would visit, there would be other family members there. Well, she is in the care of God the Father, Jesus the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit in the dwelling place he has made. It reflects on me as well that Wilma will be interested in rejoining those who've gone before her. Her dear husband John died, and you probably remember what a grief it was to her, and how with her state of mind, it was an ongoing grief. And many times Christians will ask me, well, when I go to heaven, will I recognize people there? And the answer is, of course you will. And everything that we have in the scripture shows that there is a fundamental continuity. There is discontinuity. There are differences and changes. Thank the Lord for that. But the person who lives on this earth, has relationships on this earth, and goes into heaven is that person. And their memories, their loves are sanctified, but they remain. All the biblical data we have of heaven shows that there is not only union with Christ, but communion with the saints. And I know it was especially fond in her thinking that she has been rejoined through their shared faith in Jesus with her dear husband John and with her parents and others. I'm getting old enough that more of my life is still, most of it is on this side, but more and more of it is going onto the other side. My parents have gone ahead of me. There are many others. And what a blessed thought it is, together in Christ, that in the familial estate, in the family dwelling of the household of God, the people of the Lord Jesus Christ, the flock, the sheep of his flock, that we will be there together in the blessing of the Lord. And yet, as Jesus tells it here, the one whom she has met and has now entered into a new level of fellowship with is the Lord Jesus himself. Let me just point out verse 3. Jesus says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. A couple of things there. Apparently, the Son of God does not feel that his heaven is complete until all of his people are gathered there. And there's a sense of anticipation, not merely on the Christian who faces death and anticipates heaven, but of the Christ who looks upon our lives and knows the hours of our death, and he is not waiting to receive a report. This is his own teaching, that so-and-so has died and they're in heaven now. No, he is the one who says, I will come for you and I will take you to myself. What a blessed thing it is as the Christian draws nearer to death, that the time of her death in Wilma's case is not only determined by God the Father, but it is actually affected by Jesus Christ himself. The death of the Christian is the taking of that beloved soul by Jesus into his glory and his communion forever. Can there be a sweeter thought than that? Now that leads me back to that line in Psalm 23. Thou anointest my head with oil. In the ancient world, travelers would be weather-worn. They didn't have hotels. There weren't interstates. They was long journeying, and their face would be broken by the elements, and there'd be dirt, and there would be injuries to the face. And when someone was welcomed to your door, the tradition of hospitality is that you would anoint their head with oil, that you would clean their face, and you would anoint it in such a way that it would restore life and vitality, that the damages of the journey would be ministered to. What a wonderful thought, a true thought, that the Lord Jesus has met Wilma Burroughs Crawford himself, and he has anointed her head with oil. All that that means, he has blessed her. He has brought her into his heaven. He has washed away all the damage, as it were, of life in this world. She certainly had trials in this world. She had health trials, and like everybody else, there were imperfect relationships, although in her case, loving ones. But now it is a perfect home. It is a perfect dwelling. It is a perfect spiritual life in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And he himself has met the wayfarer at the door. He has brought her in, and he has blessed her with his own cleansing and healing ministry. Well, Jesus says at the end the great statement that dominates this verse. He says, is this what everyone has to look forward to? He says to the disciples, you know the way to where I'm going, and they're slow to listen. We don't know where the way is. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the declaration of the Word of God, that in this life is when our destiny in the life to come is settled. We are to come to God the Father now through the Lord Jesus, owning him as our Savior and our Lord, yielding our lives unto his servants, relying upon his sovereign grace, and he will lead us into the presence of the Father. You know, some of the greatest chapters in the Bible, I think of Revelation chapter 4. I will not exposit it now. But these pictures that they're describing in language what cannot be described. The glory of the throne of heaven on which sits the Father. On his right hand, the Son, surrounded by the cherubim and the angelic host. And the glory, even in the book of Revelation, it's the glory that I can't describe it, he says. Well, she has been brought to the Father. She is bathed not only in warm renewal of fellowship. Oh, she is that. Not only with the removal of all the harms and hurts that were accumulated along the way. Not only the full restoration of her mental facilities. How wonderful that is, because in this life we suffer much loss. But she is suffused with the glory of the ever-living Creator. She has been brought there by Jesus the Son, that in fellowship with him she might know God, and that the light of the glory of God is now shining upon her soul. Jesus declares, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now that means that through him we do come. And so how we rejoice at the dwelling place, a familiar place where she is at home. Christ has prepared it for her. He has come to bring her. And there she is in company with those she loved best. There are other people there. There's a lot of people I look forward. I've been preaching Genesis. I'm looking forward to talking to Adam and Eve, to be honest with you, and the whole host of the redeemed in the great familial estate, the patriarchal manor that is the glory above. And yet all of that pales compared to the love of the Father immediately conveyed to the soul in the presence of infinite glory. May God be praised through that which Jesus has done for us, what he has taught to us, and what will be true for us. We may face our own death. We may grieve with glory in our hearts because Jesus is himself the way. How could I ever go? Jesus is the way. How can I know this? Jesus is the truth. And even now, Jesus is our life, and he will be our life forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that you would fill our souls with these grand things. These are not thoughts arriving from some earthly philosophy, but these are the words that your Lord Jesus chose to teach his people, his believers, in light of his own departure from earth to heaven. Lord, we do pray that Jesus would soon return and that there would be the resurrection of our bodies as well as the glorification of our present souls. But Father, while we wait for his coming, how we thank you for the victory you have given to us through the life and death and the resurrection and ascension of your own Son. We thank you for Jesus, for what he has done and been and is now for Wilma. May he be the same for us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's conclude our service by rising and we'll sing together hymn number 32, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Many of you will want to give your respects and well wishes to the family. I'd invite the children, June and Linda and Johnny and their spouses, if her siblings would like to join as well, to be up front. We'll come counterclockwise and we'll give you an opportunity to express your love and affection and prayers to Wilma's family. And now to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and dominion both now and forever. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Amen.